last week we began this message series called Heart of the Matter, and it really wasn't supposed to be a message series. It was just supposed to be a message, and there was so much condensed into one message, we decided to go another week, and I don't know, maybe it'll go another week. If it's rolling, why mess with it? Am I right? And so it just seems to be rolling. But I do want to recap some of last week for those of you who haven't been able to hear yet, or you wasn't here last Sunday. And the verse of scripture that we use came from 1 Samuel chapter 16. And then we'll read it and then pray and then jump in. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, this is when the Lord sent Samuel to go and anoint a new king of Israel. And he sent him to Bethlehem to find a man named Jesse. And Jesse had some sons, and the Lord said one of his boys will become the king. And so Samuel goes into town fearful because Saul is still the king, and he was afraid for his life. So God kind of put together this little game plan. Can I tell you, God can put together a pretty good plan for you. Amen. And so God put this plan together for them to go and sacrifice. And there he met with Jesse. And there he was there looking at these boys trying to determine which one would be the king. And he saw this one, and Samuel thought, for sure, this is the one. This got to be the guy. He's good looking. He's tall. He's a big guy. But 1 Samuel 16, it says this: the Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. So we're going to use this today to continue our series, Heart of the Matter. So let's pray before we jump in. Lord, thank you for this day and our time together as a church. Thank you for our time of worship. Lord, just experiencing your presence, lifting up the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're so thankful that you sent Jesus down, who came and gave his life so that our sins could be forgiven, our lives could be redeemed and renewed. And Lord, today as we are here worshiping you, Father, we ask that you will speak to our hearts. So open our ears to hear what you want to say. Open our minds to understand it, Father. And Lord, use me today to be a vessel to speak your word, to speak wisdom, to speak life, to speak hope. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So let's recap last week. We started out the message just asking what makes people do good things and what makes people do bad things. And it's actually something that all of us have. And it's something that determines everything in us. It's the key. It's the key to your happiness. And believe it or not, you're in charge of it. And basically, we begin this series talking about the heart. And when we're talking about the heart, we're talking about your soul. We're talking about your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so we kicked off this series called Heart of the Matter. And we begin to talk about three different things that have an effect on your heart. Now, these things can affect your heart in a good way or in a bad way. And believe it or not, you have all three of these things going on in your life. And the first thing that we said that affects your heart is your hunger. In other words, what are the things that you want? What are the things that you desire? And just like you have desires that are good, you also have some desires that are not good. And hopefully what you're doing is you're saying no to the evil desires and you're saying yes to the godly desires. But either way, good or bad, it's going to have an effect on your heart. And so we have this hunger. And really what we're all hungry for, something that we all want, and we don't even realize it because we're searching for it, we're trying to achieve it, we're trying to find it. We're all hungry for God's love. We're all wanting love. And the absolute only thing that will satisfy that hunger and that desire is a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So you can try to satisfy yourself with stuff, with possessions, with relationships, or you can find complete satisfaction in him. So the first one was hunger. It affects your heart. Another thing that affects your heart is your hurts, the things that has happened to you. Whatever has happened to you has created a desperation in you. And that desperation usually is to find healing, is to find relief, to find something that's going to fix what is broken in your life. And I don't know if you ever recognize this before, but when you're hurting, your desperation just wants things. Like, I need something. And so you start reacting, and maybe it's with the family, and so it may sound something like this. And trust me, I never say anything like this, but it may sound like something like this. I just need everyone to just shut up. I don't mean to say that, but I need you to. And I need you to do this. And we just start barking orders, and because we're hurting. And we don't even realize we're doing it because maybe you just have a toothache. And you know when you have a toothache, don't mess with me. Amen? Don't mess with somebody when they have a toothache. They're liable to do anything to you because there's a desperation in their life for relief. They need healing so bad. And so don't mess with a man whenever he's hurting. And so your hunger, you have your hunger, which sets up these desires, but then you have these hurts, which puts you in a place of desperation. And I've learned this, that your hurts will either draw you to God or it will draw you away from God. You either draw closer to him or you'll say something like this, that's not enough. That doesn't work. And so we will try alternative means. We'll try counterfeit means of healing, and it will only cause the wound to grow deeper and bigger. And so we must turn to him. But listen, your hurt, even though it can have a negative effect, it can also be turned around and used for God's good. Because one day it may be a hurt, the next day it can be your testimony. Amen. And because of your testimony, God can use your hurt and your brokenness to bring people to Jesus. So there can be purpose even in your pain. Amen. So there's hunger, there's hurts. And then the third thing is there's your habits, which is what you do. It's what or who you're devoted to. Think about it. The habits in your life are the things that you have devoted. It's the actions that you have devoted yourself to doing over and over and over. Evidently, it is meeting some kind of need. And chances are, watch this, chances are it's fulfilling a hunger or it's healing a hurt. That's where our habits are coming from. It's something that feeds a hunger or it's healing a hurt. And the hunger and the hurts in your life had defined your habits. And then we said something like this, and this was such a strong moment in the message. Maybe the stress in your life, maybe the things that you've been enduring is actually like a test. And we use the example of whenever a person is having heart problems, they go to a physician, usually a cardiologist. And when they go to the cardiologist, believe it or not, true story, what they do is they put stress on you. They put stress on you to see what's going on with your heart. So you go in there, they want to ask you, what's your eating habits? They want to ask you, what's your history? In other words, what has happened to you through the years? What is in your family? And so once they start finding that out, then they run some tests on you to find out the source of what is causing these problems in your heart. So imagine you're going to the doctor and saying, hey, doc, I need some relief for my heart. And he says, well, let's just put some more stress on you. As though you don't have enough going already, he says, let's add some stress to you. So they put you on the treadmill, and it's incline going upwards, and you can't breathe, and you're choking, and you're asking for water, and they're telling you, no, you can't have water and all this. And what are they doing? They're testing. They're adding stress to test you to see what's going on in your heart. And so last week what we said was maybe the stress in your life is a test of your heart, and the test can reveal what is hurt that needs to be healed. It can reveal what habits need to change. It can reveal what hungers need to be fed in your life. Are you following this today? So maybe we're looking at this completely wrong. Maybe we're misunderstanding some of the tests that God has put us in our lives. Maybe it's God going after your heart because he's trying to change some things in you. And so we summed it up like this last week. What do I do? What do I do whenever I'm in a test? What do I do with all of these things going on in my heart? And we said this, what do? I give him my heart. And just like the doctor, you have to actually go to the physician to get help. You've got to bring your heart to him. You've got to bring your heart to the great physician and let him heal it. So that was last week. And this week I want to carry right off of that. And because when I think about giving your heart to the Lord, I think in theory, in concept, everybody says, yeah, that's cool. But how do I do that? Like, how do I give my heart to the Lord? What does that look like? And I want to break that down for you a little bit this morning. So I want to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to read verse 12 through 21. This is some dynamic scripture right here that I would encourage you. You might want to bookmark in your Bible. You might want to highlight it, underline it, blow it up, put it on a t-shirt, something like that. This is some good verse of scripture right here. Ephesians chapter 3, and this is Paul speaking. And at the time Paul is writing this letter, he's actually in prison. I mean, this guy, he has basically been wrongfully accused, thrown in jail because he was trying to bring the good news of the gospel to all these people, and the Roman Empire was trying to stop him. And so they threw him in prison, and while he's in prison, he decides, hey, if I can't do it out there, I can still do it in here. And so he was still overseeing these churches from inside the prison, and he would write these letters, and he wrote this one letter to this church in the city called Ephesus, and this is what he says. He says, because of Christ in our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Now, listen to what he's saying. This guy is writing this from prison. He's saying, listen, because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. Verse 13, so please don't lose heart. Listen to this. So please don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. And when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources. Now listen to what he's praying. This is where it begins to apply to us. I pray that, from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength from his spirit. Come on, already, this is good. I'm praying that he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home where? In your hearts. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. You remember what we said? We're hungry for love, and that hunger is only found in a, it's only satisfied whenever we find a relationship with Jesus Christ and experience the love of God. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand. This is part of the mind. This is part of understanding what God's love is all about. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made, look at this word, then you'll be made complete. Then you will be made complete. With all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That's such a good scripture verse. So today what I want to do is I want to use this just as a setup to talk about a surrendered heart. A surrendered heart. What does it mean to give my heart to God? And I want to start out with a story again this week. Don't worry, this week I got my dipping sauce. And if you missed the message, you might want to go back and listen to it. But I got all my dipping sauces this week. So I had a good week. But this story comes from back in the day when I was in Bible college. I had a friend of mine who had car issues. He had a pretty decent car, but it had a few issues, and he always wanted to drive. He was a control freak, and so he always wanted to be the one that would drive. And so whenever we would ride in his car, I mean, it always sounded like his wheels were going to fall off. Yeah, how many of y'all had that friend? I mean, it just sounded bad, and it felt bad. And whenever you would go take a curve or you'd take a turn, I mean, it literally felt like the tire, the whole wheel was going to fall apart. And, you know, he kept making excuses about it over and over. And we kept telling him, man, you need to get this car fixed. We're going to be stranded one day. I can see it happening. He's like, no, it's going to be fine. Don't worry. I'm going to get it fixed. He had the money to do it. He just never made the time to do it. And then one day we were at lunch, and we were pulling out of the Pizza Hut. Because they had a buffet. And we were coming out of the buffet at Pizza Hut feeling pretty good because we had a class. And so we were kind of in a hurry because we stayed a little bit too long at the buffet. And so we're trying to hurry and get back to class. And pulling out of the Pizza Hut, turning on the Levy Lane, whenever he turned that wheel, there it went. Boom, boom, boom. And the car slammed down on the pavement and the wheel just kept going into the ditch. And we looked over at him and this is what he said. He said, I guess I should have gotten that fixed. So we're in the middle of the intersection. This was a very busy intersection. And so we don't know what to do. People are honking their horn, and they kept telling us we were number one with different fingers and stuff, and we were not sure what to do. And so it's three or four of us, and so we just decided, at least let's try to push this thing out of the way. Even though it's missing a tire, we got to get it out of the way, so we're pushing it. And we didn't realize we were damaging the car even more as we were pushing it, and now there's fluid leaking out from all over under the car. I mean, it was just a bad scene. It's smoking everywhere because the radiator busted. I mean, this really turned into a bad scene. And then we missed class. Now, you're thinking college is not a big deal because you skip class all the time when you were in college. In Bible college, you cannot skip class. They check the roll. they communicate with your pastor and stuff. And so you can't skip class. And so we're missing class because we were helping old Ben push his car out of the road and his tire was in the ditch, all because he didn't bring it to the mechanic to get the car fixed. I mean, this thing is piling up on us now. I mean, just trying to eat the buffet at the Pizza Hut, we kept telling him, man, you need to get this car fixed. And I don't know where my wisdom was. Why? Why did I not just say, let me drive? I mean, I should have fought with the guy. But that day, I've never forgotten that day. And I realized something. Too many times we're stuck needing help with our heart because we just haven't surrendered it. We need help because we didn't think it would ever happen. We get into these situations where things in our life start falling apart. And we wind up in the middle of this intersection where everything is happening. And we got good friends who are around us that can help give us a little bit of push. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going anywhere. And then this is where the regret begins to come, that I should have done this and I should have done that, but we didn't do it. And so now we're in a situation where the damage is even greater. You see, he needed to get those wheel fixed. He needed to get the CV joints on this front wheel drive changed, but he didn't do that. And now not only is the CV joints need to be changed, but now he's got to change out this whole axle. And now he's got to get a new radiator. And the brake hose was literally it just tore the hose. So brake fluid is everywhere. And so the cost was increasing, all because he just said, I ain't worried about it. I got time. I'm not going to fool with it, to the point that it put us in this situation where we were literally stuck. And there's some people that might be here today that feel like they're stuck. And really, this is a sign that where is your heart? Have you literally surrendered all of your heart to the Lord, or have you just surrendered a part of it? Now, I want you to imagine if old Ben decided just to go grab the tire out of the ditch and bring it to the mechanic shop. This came off of my car today. Can you fix it? Well, the mechanic's going to say, well, where's the rest of the car? Well, the car's all right, just the tire keeps coming off. Well, in order for it to be fixed and made whole, he's got to bring the whole vehicle to him. And most of the time, we take the broken pieces of our lives and say, Lord, here you go. Fix this broken piece. The rest is good. The rest is all good. And so we're looking for a fix rather than being made whole. Are you hearing this today? We want a fix. God, fix this. Make it go away so I don't have to worry about it no more. I just want to be able to drive and go everywhere I want to go. But dying, the rest, we're fine. God wants our whole heart. Surrendering your heart to God means this, and I want you to write this down because this is the important stuff. Surrendering your heart to God means that you give him permission to access all of you. Notice what I'm saying here. Surrendering your heart to God means that you give him permission to access all of you. Now, they have it up on the screen right here what the word surrender means. It means to yield to the possession of another. To yield. To give your heart. I'm yielding it to God, giving it to him. I'm giving you permission, Lord, to access all of my life. Watch this. Not just to be the Lord of my church life, but the Lord of my home life and the Lord of my work life. And the Lord of the all myself, all by myself life. Are you grabbing this today? Not just when I'm in front of the people who come to the church. Oh, there's the church people. Okay, don't use profanity and say brother and sister a lot. And, talk about the Easter service and stuff. Hey, man, good to see you today. Man, believe in God for a great Easter service. Amen. Who talks like that? Am I right? Like, who talks like that? But we do these kinds of things. We feel like we need to turn it on and we got to hurry up and pull a Clark Kent, turn into Superman. And I don't want anybody to know. Is that his name, Clark Kent? What's his name? That's it. I know who Superman is. I prefer Batman, though. I almost said it, but I didn't. I got to surrender all of it to him. And I just want to ask you a really simple question today. Have you surrendered all of your heart to the Lord? Or is it just a Sunday thing? Is it just what you do whenever there's trouble in your life? Is it just what you do when you can't figure it all out and that friend couldn't give you an answer and OMG is going on in your life? Is that the point where, yes, Lord, I need you? Or has this become our life, an everyday relationship with Jesus Christ? So what I want to talk about today is, why should I surrender my heart to God? Why? Why should I surrender it to him? And the first thing is this, and this is some simple stuff, but I think it's profound. The first reason why you should surrender your heart to God is because God can change your heart. Only God can change your heart. We have to surrender our hearts to him, though, if he's going to change it. That means give it all to him. God, I give you permission to mess with how I run my life. Lord, I give you permission to mess with how I talk. God, I give you permission to mess with my daily routine. I give you permission to mess with my hobbies. I give you permission to mess with every single part of my life. Whenever we say, Lord, I surrender to you, that's what we're saying. I give you permission to mess with how I treat my wife. I give you permission to mess with how I treat my kids. And you're saying, well, I wish God would give them some permission to change the way they talk to me. That's why we pray, Lord, will they surrender their hearts to you? Okay? That's our prayer. Lord, let them surrender their hearts to you, because only God can change our hearts. Only God can save us. Only God can heal us. You cannot find healing in a person. I need you to hear this. The things that have messed with your heart, you cannot find healing in a person, because a person is limited. They don't have all power. They may be able to point you in the right direction. They may be the ones that are saying, hey, you need to bring this heart in and get it worked on. Just like we were telling my friend, you need to bring this car in and get it worked on. But he didn't listen. A friend can't change your life. They can be an influence, but God can change your life. Are you grabbing this today? Let me take it a step further. A spouse can have influence on you, but they cannot change you. Okay? And let me say it this way. You can influence your spouse, but that doesn't mean that you can change them. So in your prayer for your spouse, don't sidetrack it with your manipulation and your, let's get off of that right now, shall we? Let's get back to matters of the heart and let's not talk about that. Let's save that for after Easter, am I right? There's no such thing as DIY when it comes to salvation. There is no such thing as DIY when it comes to healing. There is no such thing as DIY when it comes to change. That's do it yourself, by the way. There is no such thing as that. We have to learn that we have to be saved first and foremost from ourselves. See, we want God to save us from our situations, but some of the situations we've gotten into, it's because of what's going on in our heart. Because of these hungers that we've got and these hurts that we've got and these habits that we've got going on, we've gotten ourselves into some situations that we need to be saved out of. And so we just like, God, save me out of this and everything's going to be okay. And God literally wants to save you from yourself, because it's the decisions that we're making over and over that gets us right back into this stuff. And so we need to be saved from ourselves. And only God can do that. Only God can save you. And look at the price that God paid. In fact, he saw that you were so valuable that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, that he says, you were worth it. And so let me send my best to pay the price for all of the brokenness that you're in, because I can heal it, I can save it, and I can redeem it through this one man, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, with all of his love, goes to the cross willfully. He went willfully, and he knew that this could bring the change that all of us needed in our lives. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would still be striving, trying to be as good as we could, and we would not have the grace of God to enable us to do it. But because of Jesus, I need you to grab this today. See, God knew you needed help before you even had a problem. He knew that you would need some grace to sustain you before you even got into it. He knew that you were going to need saving grace, so he sent Jesus. And now, because of Jesus, you and I have hope that even though we might have a little bit of a sketchy past, there is a great Redeemer who has came and given his life on the cross. And out of his, listen, they pierced his heart, and out of his heart it flowed blood and water to bring healing and redemption to all of mankind. And so now, because of what Jesus has done, we can be changed. In fact, Acts 4 verse 12 says it like this: salvation is found in no one else. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's only by the name of Jesus Christ that you and I are saved. Come on, can we thank God for Jesus, that he came and paid the price so that we can be saved? Now watch this. This is what the word salvation means. And this is where it really begins to expand our understanding. Salvation means this. It means deliverance. Such a strong word. See, if we're surrendered to him, there's going to be some deliverance in our lives. Deliverance is a powerful word because at one time I was bound, but because of his deliverance, now I'm free. I had to make a conscious decision. That's repentance, by the way. I made a conscious decision that this way isn't working, so I'm going to turn from this decision and turn and surrender my life, say yes to his ways. And because I turn and follow him, now I have deliverance in my life. In other words, I don't have to be the same. Let me drop a bomb on you today. You don't have to continue sinning. Let me say it again. I mean, this side feels it. Let me say it again. You do not have to continue to sin. You don't have to. You really don't. Now, we believed human nature. That's just how we are, just what we do. You do not have to continue to sin. Doesn't mean that you won't. It just means that you don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to participate in those things in the past that got you bound if you don't want to. You don't have to. You don't have to go there. Tell your neighbor, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go. Don't go there. He saved you from it. Why go back to it? Salvation is deliverance. Watch this. It's also preservation. To preserve, to save. He's preserving you because he sees you as valuable. We save things that are valuable. You ever moved before? You start going through things and just chunking. At least that's what I like to do. There's still boxes in the garage from 5 years ago when we moved here. And I want a chunk, but she won't let me. I pray she surrenders that area of her heart to you, Lord. She's like, I pray he surrenders his life to you because after church, I'm a... Preservation. Here's another word that salvation means. This is biblical definition, by the way. This isn't Webster. This is Bible definitions. It also means safety. It also means safety. He knows how to protect you. This is so good whenever you just start breaking these things down and looking at it. You realize, man, God really knew what he was doing. I wonder if we really understood. If we really got to the point where we understood that God knew what he was doing, if we would completely and totally surrender. Like, God, you're good, man. I'm just going to let you do it all. Like, imagine that. And that's the place that he's trying to get us to where we make the decision to lean completely on him. Instead of DIYing everything, listen, do you know how many times that friend had the idea to get some buddies together and work on that car and try to fix it? That would not have been a good idea. Because we would have caused more problems by doing that instead of just bringing it in to that mechanic and let him fix it. That's how we are so many times with things in our own lives. We're DIYing the issues of our life. I'm going to go find a book. I'm going to listen to a song. I'm going to go talk to an old friend who went through this. Come on, these are the kind of methods. And this is what we're saying. Help me get my car out of the middle of this intersection. That's what we're saying. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be riding after you get the car out of the intersection because you're still stuck waiting on a tow. You're waiting on a tow truck. And this is where we've got to realize I need to depend completely on him. That means surrender it sooner rather than later. Friends and programs can help you, but only Jesus can change you. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can heal you. Make sure your friends are pushing you to Jesus. Make sure the programs that you're involved in are pointing you to Jesus. Come on, right there is a good spot just to kind of nudge your neighbor. You don't have to say anything. Just nudge them. They know what that means. So here's the change right here. I'm going to live my life God's way. He's given me this life and given me the power to choose what I'm going to do with it. And my choice is this. Rather than doing this my way and keep pushing my luck and going to the Pizza Hut with the wheel about to fall off, thinking we're going to make it back in time for class, I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to live my life God's way. I'm going to give it to Him. Let Him do some work in me. Are you getting this today? A changed heart. Only He can change your heart. Here's the second thing. Why do I need to surrender my heart to God? Because God can heal your heart. God can heal your heart. Psalms chapter 147, verse 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. This is a verse for somebody today. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. In fact, there's another verse in the Psalms that says that He is near to those who are brokenhearted. And it's something how we doubt where God is whenever we're hurting. Like, where are you? Where are you, Lord? I need you right now. It seems like you are forever away when He's actually right there. The question isn't, Lord, where are you? The question is, where are we? I remember walking back into class later on that afternoon for the evening class, and they said, where were you after lunch? And we just said the dude's name, and the guy laughed because he knew. But he said, where were you? And I ask you that question today. Where are you? Are you close to the Lord right now? Or are you kind of doing this thing on your own? Are you drifting to the point to where you're taking all of this pressure on yourself? Because let me tell you what that really is, okay? Whenever we begin to put all the pressure on ourselves to do all of this, to fix it all, to heal it all, and change it all, we're literally putting ourselves in the place to play God. We're putting ourselves in the place to do something that only God can do. And at that point, that's where we realize, wait a minute, He's not the Lord of my life. I'm the Lord of my life by trying to pull all of these shots. I'm trying to DIY this thing and put it all back together and make it work when really I can't do it. I don't have that kind of power. I don't have that kind of know-how. So I must surrender. I cannot, listen, you don't want to play God because you can't handle the pressure. We don't have the power. And here's the good news. You don't have to. God, I need you. So I come to Him, and when I come to Him, He can heal my wounded heart. Jesus knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be abused. He knows what it's like to be accused. He knows what it's like to be beaten. He knows what it's like to be cursed. And He did it. He went through it for our sakes. In fact, the book of Isaiah the prophet tells it like this. It says that He was bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we are healed. He took all of this punishment so that you and I could walk in freedom, so that you and I could be healed. He knew that we were going to walk through some heartache. He knew that there were some things that we were going to go through in life that were going to be heavy. And who could we relate with? What kind of Savior could we relate with if He never went through anything? If He was just a superhero that showed up and just waved His hand and made everything magically okay? We wouldn't trust that. But someone who walked through it and endured it, we see as someone who has authority over it. Because even though He went through it, it didn't change who He was. In fact, He changed what it is. Are you seeing this today? And because He walked through it, now we can see that when we say He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we're not referring to some charismatic banner in a church back in the day, but we're understanding that He is Lord over all of the pain, that He is Lord over all of the abuse, He is Lord over all these things because He walked through it and it never changed Him, and He endured it so that He can change us. He can change us. He can heal us. He was bruised for our iniquities. By His stripes we're healed. There's people here today. Your heart needs to be healed. You're trying to figure out what's going on in your family. It's not the kids. It's not the husband. It's something in your heart. It's not the job. It's something in your heart. It's not them. It's not that. It's something in your heart. And we need our heart to heal. And we're disappointed with them because they couldn't give me the healing that only God could give me. They couldn't satisfy my hungers that only God could satisfy with his love. And so it's made me defensive. It's put me even on offense, and I'm angry and I'm upset because I'm expecting someone to give me what only God can give me. And this is where we say, God, what you got for me? And he says this, I got all the love you need. Where you been? Where have you been? You've been riding around with broken wheels, trying to find it. You were riding everywhere, searching, trying to find love everywhere. And you were so close to going into that ditch. Just surrender. Just bring it in. Just bring it in today. Lord, I need you. And he heals us. Not only does he heal us, but the last thing is God can fill your heart. He can change it. He can heal it, and he can fill it. And this is important because a lot of us, we just want everything to go away. But we don't realize that God wants to put something new in you. He wants to fill your life. Amen? He wants to fill your life. He doesn't just want bad things to go away. He wants to fill your life with his things, with good and blessed things. And the question is this, is there room in your heart for all that God has for you? Is there room in your life for all the things that God has for you? And chances are we don't have room because so much of our heart is occupied. These things that we've been hungering for, trying to fill our lives with, all the hurts, trying to fix it, finding that person to be a remedy, that program to be a remedy, that song to be a remedy, all these things that are filling our heart. And God's just saying, I can do all of this. I can do all of this. He wants to fill our hearts. In Matthew chapter 12, this is what Jesus was teaching, and he says something like this. He says, when an evil spirit leaves a person, the house is swept clean and in order, but it comes back. And if the house is empty, listen to this. If the house is empty, it comes back 7 times greater than before. Some of you are like, I didn't know I was coming to church today to hear about evil spirits. Some of you, you've gone through some things in your life that's just, let's just call it what it was. It was evil. And it's had some serious impact on your life. And God can work and heal your life and change your life. And so all of that stuff, he can remove it. He can change it. But what if we don't fill our life with something? Jesus is letting us know, if we don't fill our life with something, it's coming back and it's going to be 7 times greater. And I'm not telling you that to scare you. I'm telling you that to motivate you to open your heart and say, God, come and fill me. Amen. And so this is the reason why we cycle, by the way, right here. It's because God healed me. Ooh, goosebumps. I felt the Lord tell. Thank you, Jesus. I'm healed. I'm never going back to that again. But we stay in our same routine with our same habits. We stick with our same hungers, and we keep eating the same thing over and over, and we still rehearse our hurts over and over again. So we cycle all over again. And so we're literally a roller coaster. Help me feel better today, God. Amen, amen, amen. I feel better. I feel better. One phone call. Throw the phone. I'm mad because I can't believe this is happening again. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? What is it? Is it them? I don't know. Let's not accuse people, but let's look within. What's going on in my heart? So this is where the promise of the Holy Spirit comes in. Hear this today. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in, because God wants to fill us with his Spirit. And watch what manifests in our life when we're filled with the Spirit. This is so incredible. It's so elementary. Your kids learn this back in Emerge Kids. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. Love. Not only do you need love, he can give it to you, but he can also produce it in you so that you can love. He produces some joy in our lives. You say, I'm not happy. I'm just not happy with the way things are. Well, maybe you're missing something. Maybe you're missing the Holy Spirit that can come and fill your life and give you joy. You thought by having kids that was going to bring the joy to your life, and then they turned two. And you realize, where'd the joy go? Come on, how many of you got a 2-year-old? You know what I'm talking about. Love those little boogers. Joy. Here's another thing the Holy Spirit produces in us. Peace. Righteousness. Patience. Don't elbow your neighbor right there. kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When our heart is full of the Spirit, our lives begin to produce these things. It's no longer producing the fears that it used to produce. It's no longer producing the anger that it used to produce. But now it's producing love and joy and peace. And people are saying, what's wrong with you? You've changed. But it's not a bad change. It's a good change. It's because I have filled my life with what God has for me, which is His Holy Spirit. And now my life is producing love and joy and peace and righteousness and patience, come on, some faithfulness, some kindness, some gentleness. My life is producing it. I'm not quite sure what I did, but I gave my life to the Lord and allowed Him to fill my life. And as a result, I'm a changed person. Or you can look at all these things and set up yourself some assignments and say, let me see how I'm going to be loving today. Let me see what I'm going to do to make sure that I'm a joyful person today. Hold on. I got to have peace in the middle of all this. So, you wake up at 6, by 6:15, you're done with that plan. Because nobody wants to wake up. There went your joy. He tells us in Romans that if we're filled with the Spirit, we won't allow our desires to control us. In other words, we can overcome the sin that is controlling us. But here's the deal. In order for our hearts to be healed, in order for our hearts to be changed, in order for our hearts to be filled, our hearts must surrender. And when I surrender my life to the Lord, I say, Lord, I give you permission to every part of my life, to be the Lord over every part of my life. So all of those opinions that we have formed about these different things in our life, I want to ask you this question. Does the Lord have the right to say that opinion isn't correct? This is where we say, but Lord, you don't know what I've been through. Is He the Lord of your life in that area? See, this is where it really gets tough. In theory, surrendering your life to the Lord sounds great. Come on, surrender your life to Him. Amen, let's do it, brother. But walking it out on a daily basis, that means I let Him be the Lord of my life and how I react with my mouth. Like I told you the dipping sauce story last week, I did not allow Him to be the Lord of my life whenever I went into that fast food chain and let them know that they had forgotten my dipping sauce. Don't act like you're all holy, like you ain't ever done it. You ain't went to lunch yet today. So I do have to say, Lord, I was wrong. Forgive me. Because at that point, I was playing God instead of letting Him be Lord. So I have to humble myself and ask for His forgiveness. That's repentance. And repentance is a lifestyle. It's not just a one-time walk to the altar, Jesus, forgive me, amen. It's a daily thing. It's a continual, God, I need you. God, I need you. God, I need you in every area of my life. And I wonder today if you're willing to completely surrender all of your life. Watch this, even the good parts. Even the areas of your life that you would say, these are successful, God, I'm good. You don't have to fool with, I'm good. Would you surrender even the good parts, knowing that God can take the good and make it even better? Come on. Are we willing to surrender all of us, or do we want to just give Him parts of us? God, fix my marriage, but everything else is good, so you don't have to worry about that. Maybe because of all of this other stuff that's good, if that would change, it may change some things in your marriage. Just saying. But we don't look at it like that, because we compartmentalize everything. Today, this isn't just your church life. Today is your everyday life. And I'll prove it to you. Get in your car with your kids today. And that's where you'll realize today ain't just our church life. Because they just want to know what we're eating for lunch. And they want to know what we're doing tomorrow because we don't have school. That's the kind of stuff. And you don't want to talk about tomorrow because you like Jesus today. And you just had God's presence. And they sang your song. Yeah. Can Jesus be the Lord of our life every day? Can he be the Lord of the direction of our lives? Come on. Can he be the Lord of our marriages? Can he be the Lord of how we raise in our children? Can he be the Lord of our children, or do we have to make sure that they do everything that we think they ought to do? Can he be the Lord of our finances? Can he be, listen, come on, let's go there. Can he be the Lord of our attitudes, even though we're not feeling that good today? Can he be the Lord of every area of our lives, or do we just kind of confine him to one area, my church life? Today, I want to encourage you, surrender all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. God, I give it all to you. I'm going to live my life your way. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're today, you're hearing this message and it's challenging you, it's messing with you a little bit because you realize that your hungers have been driving you and your hurts have been directing you, and perhaps you're feeding yourself with things that might taste good, but it's not fulfilling. And maybe for the hurts in your life, you're finding some temporary relief through something, but you're not healing. And you can hear, it's like even today as I'm sharing this, it's like you can hear God saying, I want to heal you. You can hear him saying, I want to change you. You can hear him saying, I want to be the Lord of your life, and we can change your life completely. But it puts you in a point, in a place of decision. And this can be the most important decision of your life. Will I surrender all of my heart, or am I just going to give him parts of me? And he says, I want it all because I gave it all. If you're here today, you say, I've never surrendered my life, my whole life, to Jesus. Today, I want to surrender all of me to him and allow him to come and forgive my sins and heal my heart and fill my heart. If that's you today, I want you to lift a hand in this room. Anyone else? I need to surrender all, not just a part. And some of us who've been around church for a long time, we got a little kingdom veteran thing going, but we haven't surrendered all of our heart. We gave him a church life, but there's other parts of our life that we haven't given him access to. And you're saying, today, I want to give him permission to access all. Bunches of hands have gone up today, and I want to lead you in this prayer. And you've heard us pray this before, and this isn't saying, hey, you don't have a relationship with Jesus, just maybe y'all ain't close. But today, you give him permission to access all of your life. You know, I knew things were serious with Cynthia when we were dating and we got engaged, when I gave her access to the bank. When we went down and we had a joint account, I knew things are getting for real here, y'all. Come on. When we signed that piece of paper saying we're buying this together, it's starting to get real because now I need you to help me. She's like, I need you to help me too. Today, are you willing to say, God, I'm signing this thing all to you? Let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord, I realize today how much I need you, not just in some areas, but in all of my life. So today, I surrender my whole heart to you, all the good parts and all the bad parts, all the confused parts, all of the wounded parts, all of the prideful parts. I give it all to you. And I ask you to change my life and forgive me of my sins and heal my broken heart and fill my life with your presence, with your goodness, with your word, with your law, with your grace. Fill my life completely so that my life will produce love and joy and righteousness and peace. Lord, I'm all yours. And I thank you now that I do not have to be the same. So I commit to you to making a daily choice of surrendering my life to you. And every day following your ways instead of my own. In Jesus' name. Amen.